This is Morning Edition on WNIJ. I'm Dan Klefstad. Today we begin a series about quick reads for autumn. We're calling it Fall Book Bites. Each morning for the rest of this week, you'll hear interviews with a poet, a short fiction writer, and G.K. Worry, who just published a novella called Infidelity. G.K. Worry, welcome to Morning Edition.
It's very good to be here. Thank you.
You pack a lot of story into 117 pages. This is about a middle-aged trial lawyer named Jim O'Hara, who's become rather jaded about his life and his profession. He's married, but there's a lack of passion there. Then two people enter Jim's world and shake it up. One is Johnny Mondragon, who asks Jim to represent him in court. Johnny is accused of shooting his wife several times. Then, in a bizarre and grotesque act, he hammers a screwdriver up her nose and into her brain. Why did you include that final detail involving the screwdriver, and what's its significance to the story?
What I wanted to do was to show that Johnny was not acting just impulsively. He obviously was in a very hyper mood when he confronted his wife on that Saturday morning. Yes, he was prepared to kill her. He had two pistols with him. But he was also over the edge about everything involving his wife, his life, his work. And I wanted to show that he wasn't just acting on impulse, that there was some thought behind it, that he really wanted to perform this one last act, this awful act, to show that in many respects he was in control.
Jim O'Hara agrees to represent Johnny because nobody else will. Now, at the same time, someone else enters Jim's life, his tenant named Sophie. Sophie's a single mom, widowed, who is months behind on her rent, so she takes a job as a guinea pig for a series of drug company experiments. She begins suffering side effects, and Jim feels guilty about this when he sees her because of what she's doing to her body so she can pay the back rent. So he starts improving the apartment for her and basically trying to help her be more comfortable. And that's when Jim learns more about Sophie and her background. Describe Sophie's life before she became Jim's tenant.
Her husband, when he died, left her with a huge tax burden. He was a plumber, he was a working man, but he was one of those people who was absolutely convinced that the whole taxation system was unconstitutional. And so over the years, he had not paid any taxes. So all of a sudden, when he dies young of natural causes, Sophie suddenly finds out that she has a huge tax burden, which of course she can't pay. Her house is foreclosed upon, she's evicted, and she has basically been a housewife, raising their daughter, Chantal, for many years, so she really has no immediate marketable skills. And she tries a number of different jobs, including at one point being a caregiver for an older couple, a job that goes really, really well, except that the older couple, being old and ill, die, and that takes care of her job. So she reads an ad in the paper about a drug trial that's being sponsored by a very large pharmaceutical company, and she reads a description of the kind of person they're looking for. It seems to match her completely. And so pretty much the beginning of her part of the book begins with her going for her first interview for this drug trial.
I'd like you to read the passage that begins with, "The corporate people ask about her diet."
Okay. "The corporate people asked her about her diet on the questionnaire. If she bit her fingernails, if she was sexually extreme, if she smoked, drank, had accidents, if she was ever incontinent, and strangest of all, if she could sing. They weighed her, they measured her, they put her on a treadmill, and they floated her in a tank of water. 'So if I drown,' Sophie had said, 'you'll know I wasn't a witch.' No one laughed at her comment, and she hoped it hadn't spoiled her chances for the job. What Sophie really wanted to tell them, with no provision for it on the form, naturally, was that she wanted to be good for them, to make them happy in their work and successful, even if they were bound by law to tell her only the bad things that might happen: excessive adrenal function, blurred vision, arrhythmias, weight loss, broken bones, nasal congestion, hepatic anomalies, hypersexuality, irritability, even death. She thought that her taking $2,000 of their dollars a month for 6 months ought to give them access to a certain felicity. 'Yes, Chantal,' she said to her daughter, 'this working thing is all about the many variations on excellence, a word that has no meaning, but a concept that has allowed us to pretend on occasion that we are angels. Always, that is a good pretending.'"
I don't want to give away too much about the goal of these experiments, But it says a lot about Sophie. There are, I'm sure, desperate people who would choose welfare and perhaps even homelessness over the job that Sophie takes.
One thing that Sophie has had to confront when you mention things like going on welfare or something is that she lives in the small town of Emily Handy, Illinois, and really has no familiarity with or any easy access to social services. It probably just wouldn't occur to her that she could go down to this or that office and sign up for this or that benefit. So she generally is the sort of person who regards herself as being on her own.
G.K. Worry is the author of Infidelity at WNIJ.org. You can hear the author read another excerpt and read more about his novella. Tomorrow, we turn to poetry with new poems by Susan Azar Porterfield. I'm Dan Klefstad.